Tough Lamed Tes 439.
Right.
So here's the question that he's going to address here. He had a number of pieces of chametz, and now he doesn't find that same number. So does he have to assume that even after he made his bedika, his bedika was not sufficient because now chametz went into the house? So what we generally do is we read the mechaber sometimes with the Ramah, sometimes we leave the Ramah for after the Mishnah Berurah. And then at some point we read the Bir Alok if we can to try to see what's going on. So Tisha Tziburin Shal Matzah, he's got 9 piles of matzah. V'yechad Shal Chametz. I mean, in those days, sometimes it was very difficult to differentiate between chametz and matzah. It wasn't readily apparent. In our day we have, I think if you've seen the Yemenite pitot, they look, first time I saw them I almost fainted. There was a guy with a big yarmulke eating this on Pesach. Looks exactly like matzah. So look, 9 out of 10 chances are that anything that falls out of these tziburin or is taken out by a rodent is going to be matzah. But we have 2 principles here which we'll get into as we go along. One is called the Parish Meruba Parish, and the other is called Kavur Kemechtel Mechtel. So we're not sure exactly whether or not we can apply the principle of Roba. Says the Machaber, Ba Achbar V'Natal. So we saw with our own eyes, we'll see how the Mishnah Berurah embellishes this, an Achbar that he took from one of these piles. You have 10 choices. We don't know which of the 10 he went into. Natal v'lo yadanu natal chametz, which means he took from what would have been statistically 10% of the possibilities, or natal matzah, which represents 90% of the possibilities. V'nichnas l'bayis baduk, and we saw how the achbar took it in to a bayis that already had bedika. So you and I would have said, well, the 90% of, you know, statistical probabilities that he's carrying matzah, so why do we have to do a bedika? But sarach lachzor v'livd. Because if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Aleph, Hatam, the reason for this is because kol kavua kemechtz al mechtzedom. So whenever I see something and I don't know what I'm seeing, and it's a question of kvir, so you have the various piles here, all of which are kavua, they're set in their place, and now we don't know, did he go to this kavua, did he go to that kavua? So we're really figuring out, you know, which kind of a pile he went into. There are only two categories of piles in the kvirs. There's either matzah or chametz. Again, within each category, you can have a greater number. That's irrelevant in the case of kavua. And therefore, we saw the achbar go in. We're not sure what we saw. Did we see him go into this tzibur of matzo? Did he go into a tzibur of chametz? And therefore, kol kavua kemechtz al mechtzah domi. The Gemara derives this in Masechta Ksubis from a pasuk v'arav lo v'kama olav, which means a person threw a stone into a group of people, and 9 out of the 10 people were Jews, and 1 out of the 10 was a Kanani. And the question is whether he's culpable under the law of a cardinal punishment for Ritzicha. And even though 9 out of 10 chances are that he killed a Yisrael, but since it's Kavua, because we're not sure when we saw the stone go in, did it go in here or did it go in here? Therefore, kol kavua kemechtz al mechtzah domi. And then the Gemara applies another rule, which is called Suffolk Nefashis Lahakel. But the main problem for us is that the Suffolk is in kvirs, and in such a case, it's kemechtz al mechtzah domi. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds the following comment, and he says, "V'dafka, our discussion, and in this case, the chumra that he's going to require a repeat bedika, which no one's too excited about, is dafka shenot al ha'achbar bifanenu. We saw the suffix in a makom kviyus because we're watching the achbar as it takes the chametz in front of our eyes. Oh, the inet halo ha'achbar shalom fanenu. If let's say, for example, we see the achbar with a piece of something unidentified in the pastry in its mouth." Is a rei dino ki'ilu perech shalom faneinu. As far as we're concerned, it's a case of perech, which means that it went out of the makom kviyus, because now the chametz or the matzah, or whatever it might be, is outside of the tziburim. As long as it's outside in front of the tziburim, that's called perech. And if it's perash, then we apply the principle of kol deparish meruba parish. So let's go through the classic case. It's a very simple case. He's got a 9 kosher butcher shops and he has 1 non-kosher butcher shop, and he finds a piece of meat in front of the entire area of butcher shops, and if that be the case, then we could apply the principle called the parish meruva parish. If on the other hand he goes into a store, he doesn't remember which store he went into, then the suffix is nolad b'makom kvius, and then we apply the principle of kol kavua. So in the case of the akwa, if we saw the akwa going in, we're not sure which one he went into, the suffix is nolad b'makom kvius, that's called kol kavua kemechts al mechtsa. If we find the akwa running around, you know, and he's going into the house, then we could apply the principle called the parish, because the suffix was chal even, or dafka after it was poresh, you know, it's after the chomish was taken out, or I shouldn't say the chomish because we're hoping it's matzah, but that piece of unidentified pastry was taken out, and at that point we apply the principle of kol the parish meruva parish. So basically it's a good idea not to watch the achbarim as they go into the tzibur.
Right.
The less you see, the better you're off, because it might be kol the parish meruva parish. That's in the case we have 9 Tziburim. Well, later on we'll get to a case where the numbers are just the opposite. We have 9 Tziburim going L'chumra, because 9 out of 10 are Chametz. Says the Mishnah Berurah number Beis, on the second line, he says, Sark Lachzar Ulevadko, Midas Sosam HaMechaber, the Mechaber didn't make any qualification. Now, let me just explain. I mean, this again, you'll be mad at me if I say things that are obvious, you know, that you understood. But I just feel, for my own clarity, I have to repeat them. Whenever we deal with all these simanim here that we've been discussing for a while, about whether you have to do a repeat bedika, we always raise the following question. Was it before Bittul or after Bittul? Because the Gemara establishes in Pesach Madaf Tal that midaraisa b'Bittul ba'masagi, the Torah is absolutely secure and relies on Bittul. And that means that Bedika becomes a Durabana. And then any suffix that you have comes on the suffix Durabana. If on the other hand there was no Bittul, then we're dealing with the Doraisa, because the Torah considers that since there was chametz coming into the house the whole year round, it must be that there's chametz there. And you have to get rid of that chametz. You're not allowed to possess that chametz. Hence, Bedika becomes Doraisa. That's what the Mishnah Berurah wants to know over here. You're telling me I need a repeat Bedika. Why? Because kol kavua kemechts al mechtsa. All right, kemechts al mechtsa, it still is only a suffix. I don't know that he has chametz. He may have chametz, he may have matzah. Let's call it an equal statistical probability on both sides. So why not just simply apply the principle of suffix d'rabbanan l'kula? And your answer might be that maybe the Mechaber is talking about a case where there was no bittul, but in a chinam, had there been bittul, the Mechaber would be mekil. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, says that we have a rule called stimas loshen ha-mechaber. Meaning if the Mechaber didn't qualify, then it's unqualified, which means even in a case that there was bittul, which reduces, it downgrades the chiyuv bedika to a drabbanon, and now we have a suffix drabbanon in the case where you saw the achbar go in. Why not apply the principle of seka drabbanon l'kula? And that's what this Mishnah Berurah is addressing. This Mishnah Berurah, in a certain sense, is what I call a lamdash of Mishnah Berurah, meaning on a practical level, it really makes very little difference, because you could always tell him to do bittul, but he's saying on a more fundamental level that bittul is not even an option here, meaning it's not even relevant to the din. Bittul from Heintz Morgan is not going to help you, because he's still left with a suffix. It's only drabbanan after bittul. Well, in the case of bedika, we don't apply the principle of suffix drabbanan l'kula. And that's something that he wants to address. But what happened? Why do we suspend the normal universal principle of suffix drabbanan l'kula? So again, midas sasam ha-mechaber mashma filu kvar bittul achem chametz, which means we go down one notch and we're talking about a suffix drabbanan, because the chiyuv bedika is only drabbanan, bittul covers him on a deraisa level. What happened to Sofik Drabbanan L'kula? This we want to underline here. I like to underline the main words. I don't know if you can do it there, but he says, because Tchilas Takanosam Haisa Bibdika Ala Sofik. In other words, Drabbanan, when they required you to do Bdika, they didn't know for sure you know, with all certainty that you have chametz. They were suspecting that you have chametz, and they're required to bedika. By definition, is to your goal is to change, is to establish a vadai, meaning that you have to know for sure that there's no chametz there. That's the way the rabbanon established the mitzvah bedika. They want it to be absolute, totally certain. In other words, we want to convert the bias from a bias that has a cheskas chametz to a bias that has a cheskas ein bo chametz. It's baduk. And how do we establish that? We have to establish a certainty that the bedika was reliable, and that based on this bedika, I've cleaned out all my chametz from the house. But I have to know that, and I have to know that b'toras vada. So if I have an achbar that went in with what might be chametz, mechz al mechz adami, then I don't have the achievement of what bedika, the enactment of bedika as a rabbinic enactment is not being fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because the essence of that kiyum is got to be vada. We have to get to a situation where we know for sure. L'cheinich miru b'sfeiko yosef mishar sfeika shal divrein. Meaning that the normal principle of Safik Rabban Lukula does not apply here in the case of Bedika's Chametz. Why again? Because Bedika means to get to the state of Vadai. If you're still leaving it as a Safik, then you're back to square one, you haven't accomplished the thing. By the way, I don't know if you know, I learned in the morning with a fellow named Moshe Lampert.
Lampert, oh yeah, yeah.
So he told me today, but we were learning a little bit about Mila, so I pointed out that if in the ideal situation, which is very rare, the father and the son should do the Mila. Mm-hmm. So I asked amongst the group, if there's anyone here who did the Mila for a son. I thought everyone would say no. Mm-hmm. They once wanted me to do the Mila of my son. I got scared. I gave the Israel back. So he tells me, I did the Mila of my sons. I said, how? You know, you don't look like a physician. He says, I did Shimush with my favorite male. Can you guess who that is?
Yuri.
And he says, I went with him and I watched him, and especially I watched him, he says, I was on a basis for Gerim, so I saw him do Mila for Gerim, and he says he gained the confidence that he can, that he, again, Yuri held the knife with him, but
just have to, right.
So it's just funny that I, you know, that I, this is just an Aragon. So,
yeah.
You know, we mentioned the issue. Okay. Now we have the following discussion. There are more adds a comment here. And it's kind of like out of the blue sky, out of the blue. He says umiu on the second line. Im hakikar katan sheyochal achbar lechol talinin lahakel shachalo vieno tzarech bedika. Now this is really interesting, because we're going to see later on that in the case of a child who's holding chametz, we don't assume that the child consumed the chametz. And not only that, but the whole sugya of bedika in a case of an achbar, also we don't assume that the achbar ate up the chametz. I don't know, but we're running around to do another bedika to try to discover and locate that chametz that he brought in. Mm-hmm. What happened to achila? So here the Ramah makes a double chiddush. The Moyes Machadish, that there's a difference between a child and a rodent.
Right.
In the case of a child, he's gonna leave a lot of that chametz behind him. Maybe he'll crumble it up, he'll make pirurim, and so forth. But in the case of an achbar, well, the achbar, generally speaking, is going to eat the chametz. So now the Rama has to face another chiddush, because if he doesn't produce another chiddush, we're in trouble. Do we find in the sugya that the achbar ate up the chametz? We always wondered, did the achbar eat the chametz or did not eat the chametz? And based on that, we ended up with a suffix. And here's Gevaldik Chiddush, which he bases himself on a tour, that if the piece of bread that you saw him carrying was small, you don't have to run around looking for the achbar or looking even for that piece of small bread, because the achbar presumably ate up that piece of bread. And that's called talinon lahakel, which is fascinating, because we just finished establishing, after learning the Mishnah Berurah in number Gimel here, that number Beis, that we don't have a din of tliya lahakel. That on the contrary, there's no tliya. Tliya by definition always means a kind of a kula. That we can assume, like for example, you have two kupos, right? One of truma, one of chulin, and something fell in, something fell out, excuse me, into your chulin, and you're not sure if it came from the truma or it came from the chulin. So the Gemara establishes that if you had two kupos and two pieces came out of both these kupos, then you could assume the truma went into the truma and the chulin went into the chulin. That's called talinon. Well, for example, if you have two women who went to sleep in a bed and then you find a kesem, so if one woman is already in need, though, we can be told that the kesem came from her, and therefore we can be tired of the other one. So that's always talina. Talina is a big cool. And it only works in very unique cases. In every case, you have to figure out why we apply the principle of talina. And here, since we've already established in the previous Mishnah Berurah, number base, that you need to know for sure that there's no chametz in the house, how are you playing a game with talina? It's very nice to assume that the achor ate up the kikar, but who says he ate up the kikar? So the Mishnah Berurah works overtime here to try to justify this Rambam, which is based on the tour. And he says that here we're going to introduce another halacha into the equation. So you see there's four lines up before the end. The number Gimel, he says, that he's spek spek. Yeah. Why? Because again, it was only based on Kavua that we ended up with one suffix. We undermine the law of Rov because it was called Kavua Kemetz Al Metzen. So that's number one. Is the Achra actually coming in to the house with Chomets? Maybe he's coming in with Matzah. V'im Tim Tzolomer Chomets. Now I have another suffix. Even if I grant you the worst case scenario that somehow the Achra went into that 10%, he went into that pile of Chomets and he took the Chomets, but who says the Chomets is in the house? Is Shema Cholo, maybe he consumed the Chomets, and therefore I don't need to do another Bedika. I don't want to do another Bedika. Thank you, but no thank you. I dedicated a couple of hours to my Bedika. Now you're going to tell me start from scratch and look for that one piece of that Kika that the Akba brought in. Please, see if you can somehow alleviate me of that headache. And the answer is that this spec here, because we don't know if he came in with chametz, and we don't know if he ate the chametz. But nevertheless, although the Ramah is willing to introduce spec here, even the Ramah is a little bit inhibited about it, and he restricts it to the case of a kikar katan. And the kikar is so small that there's a reasonable assumption on that part that he would have eaten up the entire kikar. Now he quotes another shita that is more machmer than the Ramah. You know, we're getting very nervous now. I was very happy that we came up with a breakthrough of Sfek Sfek, and we'll try to explain how that works. But now he says, Yesh Te'elim Gama Mechaber Modal is there. So according to many, the Mechaber, who doesn't mention anything about a Kikar Katan, and there's no qualification, so once again we should apply the principle of Stimas Loshon HaMachaber, just like we apply that principle to assume that even if it was Mevatel Chomets, nevertheless he needs a Reput Bedika. We should now assume he didn't Stimas Loshon HaMachaber, that even if the Kikar was a Kikar Katan, we still require Bedika, because otherwise the Machaber is misleading us, so to speak. He should have definitely qualified and said, well, if it's a small Kikar, you have no problem. Because
how many in the tour Machaber had full access to? Not just Ramah.
Sure.
But it's before him, so.
Sure.
You should know about it.
And why didn't he add it? Why didn't he add that comment? Right. So this whole school of thought amongst the Achronim wants to insist that the Ramah is fine, but that's not the Machaber Shita. But Ladina. Now, I don't know if this applies to Sfaradim, but at least in the Ashkenazic world, says the Mishnah Berurah,
we can live with Ramah's thing and go with it.
Let's go with the Ramah. Yesh lismach al achros haramah. And he says that how much more so if we can encourage him to do bittul, because that again, reduces the chumras ha-din of bedika. And he says, but the ayin v'prima godim shekosel chatkila mevadim enochin shivatim lismach al spek spek alavad.
You know, the usual expression would be kol bal nefesh yachmer.
Right, right.
So every 14-year-old is a bal nefesh. Okay, fine.
Right, and it sounds like, you know, the Mishnah Berurah almost consistently adds adds a chumra at the end of the presentation when I was really happy that we had a kula over here. But he quotes the Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim says, at least if you're entering into this whole minefield here, this machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah, right, at least according to that, then at least bring it down to a level of the Rabbanan. So make sure or encourage the Baal HaBayis to do bittul. And in which case, the worst case scenario, we're dealing with the Drabbanan. And then we'll apply the principle of Ramah, Svek Svekul Kula, in a Drabbanan. Now, how do we reconcile Gimel with Beis? Meaning, the Mishabur and Beis had established that that the principles of Svekas don't apply in B'dikas Chametz, because the whole essence of the Takana B'dika and that enactment was to get you to a state of Vada. So we don't want to play around with Svekas. But the answer is, I believe there's a fundamental difference between one Sufek and a Svek Sveka. One Sufek is a real serious doubt, and we don't know. We have Kloli Hora, for example, in Drabbanan, except for B'dika, we would say, well, the Torah allows you to assume Lekula. We have no reason ostensibly to do so, but the Rabbanan established their Iser in a certain limited way. It only applies in Vade, not in Sufek. In B'dika, we're not going to employ those rules, but we have a different rule, and that is that Svek Svek is not even a Sufek. If you have a Sufek, whether it's a Sufek, then we don't even call it a Sufek. And if that be the case, then even in B'dikas Chometz, which is a requirement to get to Vadai, we only have to deal with that, I call it the suspension of Sufek Lekula in B'dika, because you have a Sufek. But if I can get to a situation where you don't even enter into the Beis HaSafek, if there's no Safek at all, according to Halacha, then I don't have to worry about this principle in B'dika that you have to get to a situation of absolute certainty. And here there's no Safek at all, because it's a case of Svek Svek. Now, to really analyze the definition of Svek Svek, you have to learn, the Shach at the end of the first Chelik of Yerodeh, he has a whole kudrus on Svek Sveka. And I think the whole issue of whether Svek Sveka is really a Sufik or not depends upon the Ran at the beginning of Masechta Ksuvos, because there you have a Svek Sveka, you don't know if she was Niveles before the marriage, before the Erusin, or after the Erusin, and even if she was Niveles before the Erusin, nevertheless, maybe it was an ones and not a ratzon. And the Mishnah establishes that we have to get her married on Wednesday, so that if he has an issue, he'll come to Beis Din the following morning on Thursday. So the Ran asks the following question: why do we have to get him into Beis Din if there's a sex fake anyway? No, it's even after we get him into Beis Din, we're going to send him home to his wife, Baruch Hashem, because it's sex fake. So why even bother with this whole institution of getting him into Beis Din? Forget about getting him into Beis Din. You can end up with a Svek Svek anyway. So the Ran says that we're hoping that the call will go out, the voice, so to speak, or the enterprise will go out from Beis Din, and people will realize that Beis Din is looking for a testimony. Maybe somebody knows what kind of a relationship she may have had, and what were the circumstances, etc. So the Ran says that that's why they established that she should get married on a Wednesday, so that the kol will go out the very following morning. And it's like today they have social media. We'll send out WhatsApp. Yeah, we'll ask anybody who may have seen testimony. I said, please, we're dealing with the case and we need Aiden. But you see one thing that the Ran is not happy with Svek Sveka, meaning he's happy with Svek Sveka if at the end of the day no Edom come into Beis Din. But if Edom would show up in Beis Din, that's our goal. We have to do everything in our power, invest all that energy of sending out a call, enact a takona that the marriage should take place on a Wednesday so she can be brought to Beis Din on Thursday, all because of a Svek Sveka, meaning that maybe we can clarify the Svek Sveka. And if that be the case, it sounds like the Ran is going with the opinion that Svek Svek is still a serious Sufek. Not the way we wanted to assume that if Svek Svek operates,
like
it becomes like no Sufek. Yeah, okay. the Mechaber explains why in the case of the Achbar, even though there are 9 Tziburim of Matzah, we still need a repeat Bedika Shekol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechtzah. And the Mishnah Berurah adds the following comment on the bottom line here, number Dalet. He says, V'im nisarvu hatziburim zebozeh. Ooh, this is a fascinating question, because now we have a tarobes of tziburim. Are we still going to count? Are we still going to apply the principle of kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzah, David? Sulo mikri kavua. Now this is fascinating, because if you look at it with a naked eye, it's still kavua. I mean, we're not talking about a case where the achbar took out the matzah or the chametz, and we find him outside the makom taruv. Here's a case where we watch the achbar go in, but there was a taroves. So the question is, why does that taroves remove? Why is it mafkia the din of kavua? So he says, kevod she'eno omeid. And here we're turning to page 20. Bifnei atzmo. In other words, when you want to set up kavua, so the requirement of kavua is kavua bifnei atzmo. In other words, it's immediately discernible. I can point at this. Secondly, I can say this is chametz. So this is matzah. That's called kavua. But once it's in a taroves, there's no possibility of saying kavua. Because it's not nikar bimkomo, it's not ome bimkomo. His memela comes out that after taroves, it's mutter. So this would really be relevant to us. Let's say, for example, you had a mixture of matzah and chametz, and you know, again, going back to that time period when it was very hard to differentiate, then could I eat this mixture? And the answer would be that we're going to apply the principles of bittul berov, right? It's yavish, biyavish. Bittul berov, even though it's kavua b'mkoma, right? I'm looking at the mixture of chametz and matzah. I'm pulling one out. I'm saying this came from the rov. It was rov matzah. Well, why not say kol kavua? The answer is once it's eino nikar b'mkoma, I can't readily see the difference. Then that undermines the whole principle of kavua. So kavua. If you want to even begin any discussion of kavua, what you have to begin with is one premise that I see in front of my eyes clearly. Where is the iser and where is the het? If it's mishka babel together and I can't tell the difference, then forget about kavua. We're going to apply the principle of kol de parish. So now the mechaber writes on the top here of page 20. He says v'imperish hakikar bimkomo bimakom kviyoso netolo akra misham. So in this case, as opposed to the previous case, you see the achra taking the chametz, but outside of the kviyus, outside of the tziburi. So now the suffix is nolad outside the makom kviyus, because the chametz, when you first saw it, it was already outside the kviyus, and that's when you saw the achra holding the kikar. So you have a piece that came out, the achbar now took it, we have every right to assume that what the achbar took was matzah. Why do we have what gives us the right to assume he took matzah? And the answer is called the parish meruba parish. The ein tzarech lachzor v'livto, called parish meruba parish. So the Mishnah Berurah here, number hey, says in parish hakikar dafka k'shlo parish lefanenu. So we did not see the Prisha. What he means to say is that if we were there to see and witness the moment of Prisha, that's already Kavua, because we know clearly that there are 9 here and 1 here. We just don't know which one he went into. When we call him, he says the number Vav, Ein lismach al zeh rak l'inyin shein tzorch lachzor livdo gabayis filo bita aval lo shein mutamach v'zeh lechol b'pesach.
So to be free of the bedikah is one thing, but to actually say, well, it's mevotel, ta-ta-ta-ta, I can eat it.
Right.
To eat that, we wouldn't do.
So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't go into detail as to why this is so. I'm just going to take a shot at it. I think what happens is that chametz is a is a davar sheish lo matir.
That's true.
After Pesach. See, even though we have derabbanans about chomer shabbos, but generally speaking, it's a davar sheish lo matir, and therefore, even though it could be batel, we don't apply the principle of bittul. Let me just read the Mishnah one more time to see if I can convince myself that what I just told you is right. He says beferish the inyan achila lo azlina and basa ruba bechametz. So again, I would add a footnote here. I'm not sure why he didn't clarify this, unless it's coming up around the bend, but I don't think so. Why is it that we don't use the principle of rov? If we're not applying the principle of rov or bedika, so why? This has nothing to do with the other case. What is the difference here between the two cases? First is bedika, and second is achil. In halacha bedika, so then I have a right to say called the parash meruba parash. But as far as achila, we can't apply the. Our hands are tied. I think it's because the davar sheish lo matir. So why isn't that enough to be mat to pater him up from bedika? As we're saying that in the case where I saw
the standard for achila, the standard for bali rov bali motze is different. Bali rov bali motze, you go by k'sayis, but by achila we go by asuk mashu. I mean, we're machmir on achila like on Pesach, not after, massively the mashu.
Right.
So it's different than the other thing, which is it's not a k'sayis. It's like peruri memela batli pa pa pa, and we don't worry about it too much. Yeah. So it's a different standard.
But I'm tempted to think, I have to find this inside, that the reason why Chometz is asim b'mashu is because the davar sheish lo matir. Not that the Torah itself asim b'mashu, no. But that the Rabbanit said there's no bittul because it's a davar sheish lo matir.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to check that out. Let's go on to number base. Shnei tziburim. If you have to leave, by the way, you know, feel free. I would like to finish the siman. I don't know if we'll get a chance, but shnei tziburim, echad shel chametz, echad shel matzah. So now the percentages here are a little bit less, how should I say, less sympathetic, because there's a 50-50 chance here that the achbar is going into the house with chametz, because there are only two tziburim. One is chametz, one is matzah. Okay. Ushnei batim. Okay, this is the principle of tliya, talina lakula. Let's see how it works out. Shnei batim, echad baluk v'echad sheino baluk. Bo shnei achbarim, zenatol chametz, zenatol matzah. Right, each one went into respectively one of the. We're not sure which one is carrying the matzah, which one's carrying the chametz. But by definition, we know that one is carrying chametz, one is carrying matzah. Now, if the chametz, if the achbar carrying the chametz went into the house that's eno baduk, then that's fine. You didn't do your bedika. But if it went into the bais baduk, you're going to have to do another bedika. So the enyo duly is a bais zeshenot al chametz. Which house was victimized, so to speak, by the achbar with the chametz? V'chein shnei batim v'dukim. The tzibur echad shel chametz ubach rabbanot ven yidul liyazan bayis nichnas. So you have one rodent going into one of two houses. Are we going to require bedika on both of the houses? Oh, sheyada she nichnas li echad mehem ve nichnas achrov ubodak v'lomotze klum. All right. This is a little bit more complicated. So let's leave that out for the minute. And we'll fast forward just to get the ratio here of Sif Beis. Eino tzarech lachzor v'livdok. So let's go over the ratio. There are two piles and two batim. In this case, we're going to assume that the achra that took from the chametz pile went into the bayis she'eino baduk.
Right.
And that doesn't change the halach at all. He needs bedikah. As far as the other bias, which was Balduk, is going, we're going to assume that was penetrated by the Afra that was carrying matzah, so you don't need another bedikah. That's the first case. Now we have a second case, which is also very similar, but in the second case, we have two batim bedukim, and we have one sibur shel chametz. And once again, if these two batim bedukim each have what's called a cheskas baduk, meaning that there's no chametz there, then even though we know now that the achbar is carrying chametz, correct? Because now we're talking about a case of with tzibur echad shel chametz, right? We're talking about tzibur echad shel chametz. So there's no doubt in anyone's mind that the achbar went into one of these two houses, both of which were already bedukim, and he was carrying chametz. So the mechaber says, you know what? Ein tzarich lachzor b'livda, which is a really interesting halacha, because what we're doing is we're applying cheskas baduk to both of the two houses, even to the point of, so to speak, absurdity. When I say absurdity, what I mean in reality, it's impossible to say that both of these houses are clean of chametz, are free of chametz, because we know that one of these two houses definitely had chametz. That's as far as the reish is concerned. The seifa has to do with a different question, and that is, do I have the right to rely on a second bedika, even if I don't succeed in my goal in finding that darn piece of chametz that the Akhbar took in? And that's a gewaldige chiddush, that if I checked it a second time, now I can rely on the second time. You know, I would have said, well, you know, obviously you didn't do a good bedika, because you know that there's an Akhbar that took in chametz in there. Where is that chametz? But apparently we're going to say that maybe the Akhbar ate the chametz.
Or he's in the other house. He went to the other house.
No, in the last case, there's only one house. So, Shayyada Shaniflas Liechem Mihem. In other words, we're talking about a bias bottle. We know that the Akhbar went in.
Okay.
But he went after him with a second bedika. That's why I say this sefer is like a set. I don't know why it almost seems like he's saving ink. You know, just for technical reasons, he combined this with the ratio in order to say, you know, tzarech lachzor of a liver. But really, if we're up to me, I would have put a siv gimel at the words Oshi Yodash Nichnas, because that's a whole new seif, a whole new discussion. And that is, when I am required to do a repeat pedika, what happens if my repeat pedika didn't yield any benefits here and I didn't find the chametz? Can I still rely on this repeat pedika? Because again, if you know this chametz and you didn't find it, maybe she'd send you back a third time for a third pedika. And then he has a fourth case here of Bodak Tzasmei Abayis, Motza Kikar, and now you can ask yourself the following question. This, if I'm not mistaken, is the famous Ram Chalva. Well, once I was chayav in a new bedika, a repeat bedika, do I have to do a total bedika? I'm only looking for one piece of chametz. And I found a piece of chametz. Now, I don't know for sure. I can't take a shmooze price that that's the one that...
Only one.
Maybe there's another piece of chametz there. But I only know of one piece of chametz that went in there. And the chiddush at the end of the Machaber is that if one piece of chametz went in, it does not undermine the entire bias. You can still rely on the bedika, just find that one piece of chametz. And if you find a piece of chametz, you don't have to assume, hey, maybe there's another piece of chametz. You know, that piece of chametz doesn't have a name on it. It doesn't say, I'm the one that the Akhbar took in, but yet I have a right to assume, based on my original bedika, that there was only, you know, my problem is restricted to this one piece of chametz. The Rambam is going to make a, you know, throw a bomb here at this whole thing, but before we get to the Rambam, let's just go through the Mishnah Berurahs on the Mechaber. So the first Mishnah Berurah that we want to see is number Zion, which is line 5, and he says the following: Ma'ir Kishav Bitla. This principle that we can apply Talina, and we can assume that the Akhbar that had the Chametz definitely went into the Bayis Eino Badu, that is because we're on a Drabanan level. There already was Bitlchein Ein Tzarech Lachzor B'Livda K'Messiah. Okay. Now he tells you to go back to the Ramah based on the tour that we saw earlier. And that is Kikar Katan. And he says the following. that according to the Ramah, based on the tour, then if the kikar is katan, then even without bittul, we would apply the principle of safek lekula. In other words, we would assume that the akbar ate up the chametz. It's a small amount of chametz, and we're not afraid that he put it away for a rainy day. Okay. Next, we're up to Mishnah Berurah Ches. Afilu im bo shneim lishol basach. So here's the case. You have two batim, and chametz went into one of those two batim. We're absolutely certain. None of them need bedika. Says the Mishnah Berurah, wait a minute, what if they both came to ask the shayla? Imagine, you're pasketing a horah for two people at the same time, and you know that by definition your horah cannot reflect reality, because one of these two batim needs bedika. You don't know which one, but now you're going to tell me none of them need bedika. Is Amrina l'chol echad eino tzarach lachzor v'livdok? Now, if I read the Mishnah Berurah correctly, and again, this is very iffy, this is my question. What I think he's saying is that even though they came together to ask the question, the answer is given separately.
Mm.
Do you follow? The Morah Hora has the right to say, let's talk to Reuven first, and then we'll talk to Shimon. So when he addresses Reuven, he whispers into Reuven's ear, you don't have to do a bedika. When he gets to Shimon, he whispers into Shimon's ear, you don't have to do the bedika.
Mm.
And why doesn't, again, you know that this chametz in one of the two houses, the samchinon mukminen l'chol echad acheskaso shahayim baduk. We have a right to assume that if he did a bedika, no chametz came in. The chazak on the house sort of like has a shield of protection on it that says no chametz coming in here. And he went to the other house. But, you know, each one sort of presses the buck, exactly. Umairi kishabitel. Okay. In other words, what we're doing is we're applying a cheskas baduk to assume that the chametz went into the other house. You know, again, we apply it for both houses. So he says that's tafka if it was baduk. Wow.
So then he continues, right? He says, Messiah Ramah, Maskonas opposed to Meokane. Even though the Rambam, is allowing him to be maker for both owners, for both Balabatim,
right.
But he says that Poskim generally don't want to go there because they say, you know what? There was a Chometz in some place, therefore they wouldn't accept it.
But I think what's going on here, again, this is all my premise, is that they both came together. If they both came together,
then you have this split problem.
That's where the Ramah has this problem here. The Maskonas HaPoskimene came, meaning I cannot possibly give a Horah that has a stira, it has a logical contradiction built into the Horah. It can't be that neither Reuven nor Shimon have to do a Bedika, meaning that the Akbar didn't go into neither Reuven's house nor Shimon's house. We know it went into one of the two houses. Less man the Paul, we don't have a suffix about that. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah makes two comments. He says, number one, that if they were bo shneim lishol vasachas, we can only apply the cheskas baruch to its, so to speak, ridiculous conclusion, meaning that neither of them have to do bedika, only in a case where we're dealing with the drabbanim. There's no way that we can give a psak to two people which has a built-in stira to it, because the reality jumps out and says the opposite, unless we're dealing with the Durabon. On a Duraisa level, we could never allow such a thing. That's his first point. His second point is that the Ramah tells you that even if he reduced it from a Duraisa to Durabon, it's Holchi and Bdika after Bittul is only Durabon, so he was Mavatul. So nevertheless, if they were Bo Lishol Bas Achas, Lomahani, and they both will have to do the bedika, because there's no way you can pass it for two of them that they don't need a bedika.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so El Shabol Lishol Bazakar Zed, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. If they came one after the other, came into Bavadeh Nitnasachom Sabai Shal Echem, Yev Shal Atir Vas Achas, Ela tzarech lachzor v'livda. So according to this Rabban, the name of the poskim, the only room for leniency here is they came to zecher zeh.
Right.
And if they came to zecher zeh, then we could be makil. Now the question is, if they came to zecher zeh, are we dealing with after bittul or even before bittul? So let's read the Mishnah Berurah one more time. He says, "Afilu in bo shnei vasach samin kolechad she'enu tzarech livdo." That's before the Ramah, and that's only in the case of a drabana. Umayri kishabita. Oh, but now we get to the Ramah, and the Ramah says that if they came to ask the question together as a team effort, then we have to be machmir even if there was bittul. Mm-hmm. Oh, but now what happens if they came? So I'm going to suggest the following, very tenuous, you know, I don't know if this is correct, that if they came bozeh or zeh, then we could be makil even if there was no bittul. In other words, the cheskas boduk is enough to be makil, to be machriya, that the chametz didn't go in for each house, even though there's a contradiction, because they came bozeh or zeh. And this entire Mishnah Berurah from beginning to end is talking about a case of both shnei vasachas, and then he's going to qualify by saying Myrish and Bitla. Let me just see. He has a number chesed on the shard. See, does he? Sometimes, no, not in this case. What's the Zion? Now this goes back to the Rama. There's a few both shnei lishol bevasachas. Zaminu chol echad, fine. And then he qualifies as umayri. See, I'm wondering if umayri kishabitel is going on the case of vasachas. I don't know. It's a little bit ambiguous to me. Do you see my question here? He says umayri kishabitel. And I'm thinking that he means umayri kishabitel, because otherwise, how can you give a hora to shneim bo lishol vasachas where there's a stira? The reality itself contradicts your hora. You're saying neither house has to do bedika. How can you say such a thing? Mm-hmm. So the answer is Myrish and Bittul, and we reduced it to a suffix to Rabban. But if it was Bazach or Zeh, then we can pass it based on the chazok of each one independently, even despite the fact that there was no Bittul, and we're dealing with the Doraisa. Because even on the Doraisa level, we can make it based on chazok. So let's say, for example, the case of Shnei Shvilin, right? That's the classic case. So you have a mess that's on one of these two roads. And Reuven went down, but we're not sure which one of the two roads. Reuven went down one road, and Shimon down the other. One of them is definitely Tomei. But the Gemara says that if Bo, Bazech, or Zeh, we can say to each one of them independently, the Yud HaCheskes Tara, we don't know that you came in contact with the dead body. And therefore the Cheskes Tara tells me that you're not the one. And if I'm not mistaken, there you talk about a Doraisa, we're not talking about the Rabbanos. For example, if they both, let's say, touch Truma afterwards, would it be Matami the Truma, make it into Truma Tmeo, which I guess you'd have to burn? And the answer is that once we paskin on each one separately, that they're tar, then that's it. They're tar. We don't have to worry even about a case where they both touch truma. And the reason we can say they're both tar, even though we know one of them walked across a mess, is because of Cheska's tara. And then we're dealing with Doraisa. So this push of the Mishnah Berurah to insist that there was bittul, I think, is only as far as bivas achas is concerned. You know, in other words, that case where they came together, how can we possibly be makil when we know there's a stira in that very hora itself? If they came each one separately, we could possibly based on the chazok each one brings in. Right. But if they come together, so here he wants to reduce it to a drabonon, and the Rabbah is going to say if they came together, then together. Even after bittul, we're going to have to require bedika on both of them because they came together, and that's an impossible, untenable hora. Let's see now what happens if he knows the chametz went in, he did a bedika second round. Salka Daito says the Mishnah Berurah, number test, shetzarach lachapes kavod po'amin. Yeah, let him go. If he, If his bedikah doesn't find the chametz, he knows the chametz went in, then my friend, you're not doing it's a faulty bedikah. Do it again and again and again. I don't know. Until Mashiach, I don't know exactly. The ayin betura dezel afilu delo bitel, meaning that we can rely on the fact that this chametz that he found is the one that got lost, the one that he was looking for, and there's no additional chametz, and that applies even without bitel, which means that you're dealing with doraisas over here. Behind to tell lidon she'achor acholo. Interesting.
It must be meaning a smaller piece.
That's what I'm wondering about, because let me just think out loud with you for 1 second. He went in and he found a piece of chametz. Right. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He couldn't find the chametz. So he says that we assume that the achbar ate up the chametz. I'm going to suggest the following, and maybe this is way off the mark here, but Why don't we consider the following possibility, that the aqua went into the house and then took it out of the house? Meaning, there are two speakers here. You're asking me why I don't find the chametz. You saw the chametz go in. So let me give you two possible answers. One answer could be the aqua ate that piece of chametz. But the other possibility could be that the Akbar took the chametz out. I mean, we don't have the Akbar in front of us. We, you know, it's not tied down, so maybe you took it out. And I think the difference would be your case about a small. Do we require that? If you're putting all your all the emphasis on the fact that the Akbar ate the chametz, then you might want to introduce the following restriction. You know, the Akbar could be, you know, if only a small amount of time passed by since the Akbar went into the house. And you went in to look for him. So maybe in that small amount of time, he would not be able to eat a whole kika. But if on the other hand, maybe he went out, maybe that's enough. See, it's a really interesting shiloh, because on the one hand, he did a bedika. You know, he did his due diligence the second time around.
Right.
And on the other hand, why didn't you find the chametz? You know, we have a real serious problem here. You know, you did what you had to do. You know, the bedikah aren't there with all the trimmings and all the requirements. But why didn't you find the chametz? And here we're coming up with a chiddush that the reason why he didn't find the chametz is because the animal, the achbar, ate the chametz. So I don't know if you have to add the qualification that it was a small piece. Now let me just see, is the Mishabura Yud relevant to us? So this is the fourth.
He started
case.
The Nubadika and pretty quickly found
a piece. So can he say he can end it? Finito, I finished, and that's the one.
Right.
Maybe this is the wrong kikar. Again. So according to this opinion, the chametz going in does not undermine and upset the entire chazaka of the bayis. We just have to find one piece. If we can find one piece, then we assume that's the one piece that went in. There were no other additional pieces that went in. It wasn't that one chametz called to its friend another piece of chametz and they said, let's attack this house. We had a bedika, it's got a cheskes bado. One piece went in, we'll look for that one piece. We're not going to assume there's another piece. Then the Mechaber says the following. I'm afraid to read the next piece because I don't know if he's going to. Because we finally have a good solid cool over here. Videa zu eino mechalekes bein bitel lelo bitel. Oh, that's good news. Divachal gavni talina lahakel. All right, you went in. You found a piece of chametz. Now you're gonna force me to look throughout what is it, like a contamination on the whole house? I found that one piece of chametz. It's gandik. It's all over. I finished my bedika. What do you want from me? He's saying that deyazu einam chalek has been bito lo b'kol gavne talina lahakel. That's pretty makil. That's a big makil, right? Big kula. Because lechora, I would have said that that the bais lost, it's forfeited its chazaka. No, the bais still holds on to its chazaka status. And now he says, even without bittul, is bechol gavni talina lahakel vatur choleg usvile dlomikinin lomar shezeu hakikar shehichnis haachbor. Again, he wants to insist that no, we have to introduce bittul here to the equation. Otherwise, you're in the doraisa, and maybe there's another piece of chametz. And if you do it with a doraisa, yeah. All right. Let's assume that according to the tour, you need bittul because maybe there's other chametz in the house. I'm not so happy about this tour because I always assume that the one piece of chametz went in to a bais baduk, find that piece of chametz, and let's assume you found that piece of chametz. And that should work even on a deraisa level. No, he says it's only below bittul. Only if he was mevatel, but if it's as far as secular, but if he was not mevatel, then sarach livdok olabayas kulo dafk. V'zeu shenichlal b'mashe siyem harama avol maskonis haposkim eino kein. V'da dekoma shekasam v'siv zel d'lo mekelinin elg shebitel imu adayin kodim sheishos. Is af shalo bittul adayin yochel levatel.
He ain't sort of lachs of a lived. Bittul, you still have time, but if you get to the point where it's too late, yes, then you have to plan on everything else.
The boss of Shasi Sura.
Had done, been right. Done before or not. Right. If you still can do it, still this man, then okay.
Right.
Yeah.
The Mechaber in Sif Gimel says, he niach tisha kikros chomet umotz hasara. Now he finds 10 kikros of chomet. Is tzorech livdok achar kol hatisha. In other words, he doesn't assume that this group, this bag full of 10 pieces of chametz, is the same of the tisha that he left originally. So he's got to look for the original tisha. So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah of Yud Gimel, the Amrinan Hani Achrine, she ish achrei viyam lakan. So this is a whole new group, because otherwise his group of chametz, his bag of chametz, had only 9 members. Now he finds 10. Vahanach tisha shiniach chaludos chuldos gororum. Chulda is some sort of a weasel. The weasel took it away. V'tzarech livdok achareihem afilu bitol mikodem, even if there was bitol, and we reduced it to a drabona. The Mechaber continues and he says v'chein iminiach asor motza tisha. Once again, he doesn't find the secret number of the pieces that he left. He has to assume those pieces are gone, or somewhere they are in the house, but these tisha are a whole new bunch. His tzorach livdok achar kol ha'asara. Now he has to look for his bunch, his original bag of 10. Shanu Omrim, the Mechaber explains, mashiniach nitel v'yelu acherim, that which he put down was removed. And this is a whole different group. The Yesh Omrim Dhani Mila Bikshurim Yachad Avolim Enom Kshurim Yachad Ein Sarch Livdok Elo Achar HaEchad. That if he left 10 and he only finds 9, he could assume that these are 9 out of the original 10. He only has to find the 10th. The only case in which he would have to assume that this is a whole different group, then he has to find all the original 10, is because there was a simon, so to speak, that indicates clearly that these are not the same pieces that he left out. That's called Kshurim Yachat. Now, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah number Tesvav, he writes, the Vade Mishal Akham Lakacham Kulam, the fact that they were Kshurim and now he doesn't find them Kshurim, that means it's a whole different bunch. Then if you look in the Mishnah Berurah Tezayin, he says that we can rely on the kula, that if they're not kshurim, we can assume that these are 9 out of the 10 original pieces. He has to just search for the 10th. Finally, the Mechaber Nomad Dalid, he says the following. oh, by the way, that kula that the Mishnah Berurah accepts, the second opinion on in Yud Zayin, is only conditioned on the fact that he was mevatel his chametz. In Dalit, the Mechaber says, "Iniach chametz b'zavis zu matzo b'zavis acheres tzarich lachzor v'livdok." In other words, he has no right to assume that he forgot which zavis he put it in, or that he himself moved it. But rather, he has to assume that this is a different chametz. The original chametz that he put in one place was taken by a child or by an achbar, and now he has to find the other chametz. The Mishnah Berurah Nabi Ches says, "V'achronim iskimu diem kvar bita lo yesh adayin shehus levato ein tzarich lachzor v'livdok kevin shabediko midirei sofer talina lahakel shezeu achametz sheiniach." And we're going to be makil and assume that even though he finds it in a different place, he himself moved it or got moved, and that's the same original piece of chametz. That's a kula of a talina, and other than speksfaker, it does intrigue the mind. At what point do you say that no bedikas chametz has to be a vadai, and at what point can you rely on suffik? In any event, That's the end here for us of Siman Tuf Lamed Tes, right? The equivalent of 439, tomorrow 440, Belinender, Din Chemtza Shalena Yehudi, Shehufkad, Eitzel Yisrael, that would be Tuf Mem for tomorrow, Belinender.